welcome to, I'm trying to think, episode 53. Am I right, Dave? 53?
You are dead on.
It's been so long, Dave, that I can't even remember what episode we're on. Dave. Not that I'm blaming anybody. Dave.
Hey, just do the thing. Do the intro thing.
All right, fine.
Do the spiel.
How did this go? Let's see. It's episode 53. I'm trying to think is a podcast. Wait. I'm Chuck Werner. With me, as always, is Devon?
Sure, Devon. Yeah.
Devon Stren. Strem? Strom. Devon Strom. And this podcast is sponsored by the Fingration Impulse 2. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, keep going. Just keep going. We'll get it.
We're on the ooh, what is that thing?
Internet.
Head book? Head library? Something like that. Something with a head and a book. I think you can go to headbook.com/I'm trying to think. I don't know. Twitter.com/I'm trying to think. I think that works. You can write us. contact@I'm trying to think.com. We encourage that. Because what else we got to do?
Nothing. We just sort of sit there waiting for email to come in.
Pretty much. Isn't that everybody's life these days?
Yeah.
People who don't sit around and wait for email, I don't trust those people.
Yeah, they probably, I don't know, they're up to something.
Because you get a lot of email, but you don't want the email that you got. You want a different email from somebody cool telling you something cool about something you did or didn't do. That's life, Dave. That's life in a nutshell. You want to know what life in a nutshell actually is, Dave?
Probably not, but let's go with it.
Actually, life in a nutshell is cramped.
Life in a nutshell is nasty, brutish, and short. That was Thomas Hobbes.
Hobbies? Hobie? I don't remember.
It's been so long since we've podcasted that you've forgotten the name of classical political philosopher Thomas Hobbes.
Yes. All right. Well, nice bang there, Dave. All right.
Thank you.
So, in case those of you out there have forgotten what we do here, Dave and I are experts, and we give our expert opinions. So, let me first give my expert opinion, Dave, because we talk about this way more than it deserves.
Uh-huh.
The Pittsburgh Pirates. Losing again,
sure,
my friend.
Sure. I think last time we talked, you know, a month or so ago, which we talked about the exciting and thrilling first place Pittsburgh Pirates, who are now the more predictable fourth place Pittsburgh Pirates.
And humorously, of course, the episode in which we talked about that has not been released yet.
No, it's
so when people listen to that episode,
yeah, they'll happen quickly.
They'll be like, wait, what?
Do these guys know?
The Pirates aren't winning, they're losing. And then when they listen to this, they might be they'll be winning again, and they'll be like, what? They're not losing, they're winning.
Hey, what? I'm totally going to get this out before 2013. Thank you.
So anyways.
So the Pirates will probably be losing.
So anyways. So they're losing again, which is funny because they started losing just as the deal was done and the Steelers practice started. So basically they started losing exactly when people in Pittsburgh stopped caring about the Pirates.
It's kind of convenient how that worked out, yeah.
And so I have a friend who is a huge Pirates fan, like win or lose, you know? And
uh-huh.
So he's complaining a lot now that everybody has jumped off the bandwagon because, you know, they're losing again.
I don't know. Actually, I think their attendance has kind of surprisingly maintained at least a somewhat higher level from when nobody cared.
They're lucking out in that we are having a mild August. Like, I mean, it's like 85 or 87, but it's not like 98. It hasn't been most of the month.
Yeah, it's been humid, but it hasn't been
disgusting. We hit some really hot days in July, but August has been pretty mild. So I think they're helped by that because you got to go sit in a fucking giant sun baking plate to watch the damn baseball people play. Or you can go at night, I guess, in which case they probably...
Yeah, it's more pleasant.
They have
it's more pleasant.
Less sun baking. But you could take a tea container, Dave, and make sun tea right there in the stadium.
Wait, hold on a sec.
Uh-huh.
One, Just a brief aside. I don't know if this, I think it's something on your end, or I may just be crazy, but
right.
I'm still hearing Crystal Castles in my ear. If you could take that down.
It's down.
Take it further down.
You can't be hearing it because it's not playing. So, there is that.
Catchy. Earworm.
That was Crystal Castles' Crime Wave that we started out the show with.
Crystal Castles' Crime Wave?
Crystal Castles' Crash Wave. And
Crystal Crime Wave Castles?
It stopped playing, Dave, a minute and 17 seconds ago. Because I didn't stop the player, and so it went on to the next song. And started playing the next song, which is not Crystal Castles. And that was ages ago. And the volume was all the way down, so you definitely weren't hearing anything. At least I don't think so.
Okay. So noted.
I don't know. You got the music reader over there. You can see the waves. Were there waves going on that part in the thing?
No, so I may have gone insane briefly.
Briefly went insane.
Okay.
Either that or there's a part of your brain that has a Crystal Castles CD in it. It's just playing.
Apparently, which is funny because I think that's the first time I've heard the Crystal Castles. So
the Crystal Castles?
I don't even know.
I think it's just Crystal Castles.
Probably.
Not the.
So it's strange that it was already in my brain.
But I think every band now should have a "the" because it sounds it's a thing. It's a humor thing that we do now. I think it comes from the internet. You know, when people go out of their way to put the in front of something, and it sounds funnier because of that.
So you just want to append the to everything?
To make it funnier, but I think with band names, you can do it a lot. But sometimes it gets a little weird, so you have to be like, how about we listen to the Beatles?
The.
I don't recommend listening to too much of the.
No, because then you have to say it the more you listen to it.
Yeah, that's true.
No good. But anyhow.
But it's always weird to me what bands have.
Okay.
No, forget the Pirates. We're done with that.
No, I need to talk a little bit more about the Pirates.
All right. Talk about the Pirates.
It's pretty simple. The thing that was keeping them in contention was their pitching, which was good, but there was no reason it should have been good. So then it stopped being good. Also.
So everyone's suspended their disbelief. And
there was that problem. And also, the lineup, you know, it has some young players with promise, but overall, it was super thin. And then when a couple guys got hurt, it went from being thin to, you know, like non-existent. And that's kind of why they imploded.
All right.
But still, it's kind of a hopeful crappiness this year, as opposed to just sort of a resigned, tired crappiness. So, good on you, Pittsburgh Pirates.
All right. Are we done with the Pirates then?
Yes. The Pirates.
Okay. So, what I want to talk about now is the, not the, but the use of the word the.
The indefinite
in band
article.
Names. Yeah.
The indefinite article.
No, it's definite article. Indefinite would be the. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to get emails.
Just so emails. We're going to get emails
if
about
If fucking
what?
Up grammar doesn't get us any emails, then we don't have any listeners.
But we just corrected it, so. All right. So, for instance, it's just Pretenders. Even though they are the Pretenders, if you look at the albums and stuff, it's just Pretenders, okay? But the Beatles are the Beatles, not just Beatles, the Beatles.
Right, the Rolling Stones.
Right, the Rolling Stones.
But Talking Heads.
Talking Heads, right. No, the Flaming Lips, right? But just Talking Heads. And
you
that's.
Know, I'm not 100% sure about this. I may get my article incorrect. I think it's the Flaming Lips, but on the other hand, I think it's only Flaming Groovies.
It might be, I don't know. The Adam Sandberg joint, if you will.
I won't.
His jam.
But yes.
Is The Lonely Island, but it's just Crystal Castles, according to the listing I'm looking at least. So what's up with that? What's the deciding factor there, Dave?
I think this is how it goes, is if you're putting that article there, one thing you're giving yourself is uniqueness, you know, grammatically speaking. So, for example, there could be other Pretenders, but there are no other Beatles spelled with beat being spelled, you know, in a punny way.
Yes.
You know, there are only the Rolling Stones, but there are more Talking Heads out there, sure.
There are other Talking Heads. But there's only one, the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. So it's kind of a uniqueness versus putting yourself in. And I'm already overthinking this.
So are you saying, for instance, maybe like Robert Smith's pretentiousness is multiplied by the fact that he claims that his band is The Cure. Not just A Cure, not cure, but the cure.
But also, I think what it comes down to, and this is probably the level that these bands actually think, as opposed to the bullshit that I just said,
yeah,
which is probably bullshit, is that cure sounds stupid and the cure kind of makes sense. Like, I'm not, like, in just in terms of how it rolls off the tongue,
all right,
it seems less awkward. Like, you know, we're cure.
But I think Flaming Lips sounds better than the Flaming Lips. What do you think?
I don't know. I disagree, and I think it's for the reason that I prefer all of the things that exist because that's the ones that I'm used to. I feel pretty strongly about that.
I like the way the world that is because I know how it is. All right,
exactly.
Dave. I'll accept it. We can move on.
Hey,
let's keep rolling.
Hey, I'm going to say, just to spin it back around, that's the same reason you're happy that the Pirates are below 500.
No, no.
You prefer the world to be as it is.
I actually decided.
And that's been
a constant
through your entire adult life.
I came
and
to
most of your teenage life.
I came to a conclusion about the Pirates and the losing streak and why this year I was like, no. It's like you can accept that an old relative is going to die. But if you really like them being around, when they get sick, you get really upset. And it takes a while for you to come to terms with it, you know? It's like I heard the Pirates were were in first place and were, you know, up several games above 500. My first reaction, Dave, was what? Denial, right? Is that it?
Uh-huh.
I was like, no, there's no way that's true. Okay?
Then
anger, right? I was like, oh! And that's where you caught me maybe last week or last podcast, not last week, but
right. Last week, as far as the viewer knows. Sure.
And then bargaining. I don't know. I didn't really do any bargaining, but I could make up it as a joke. You know, like it's hard for me to bargain. I don't believe in any supernatural entities, so it's hard to bargain with. Bargaining's
nothing.
A weird stage for me. Yeah.
Yeah, bargaining is an odd stage for the atheist.
Yeah, or it's not just atheists, but the person who's like completely denying any supernatural, like naturalist. I don't believe that there's anything to appeal to. So
you could bargain with nature.
Yeah.
Bargain with a tree.
Yeah. Anyways, so.
Bargain with a bird.
So after bargaining, you know.
Specifically, you could bargain with the bird who's the Pirate's master.
Aren't there five stages of
the parrot.
Of grief? What's the fifth one?
Well, the fifth one's acceptance.
Acceptance,
we're missing four.
There's one in the middle that we missed. Because I don't know. It's bargaining.
Okay, we got denial.
Anger.
Bargaining.
Fear. Is fear one of them?
Pretty sure fear. Fear is the one we were missing.
Well, I wasn't afraid of anything. I don't know.
No, you were afraid the Pirates would have a winning season.
Okay, I'm looking it up now, Dave. I'm looking up the internet. The internet is telling me the Kubler-Ross model, commonly known as five stages of grief. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression.
Ah.
Acceptance. So I kind of did go through some depression, like, oh, man, the Pirates could win. This is really, I'm just going to have to accept that. You know, they're going to be a winning team now, and people are going to talk about baseball. And I was just, depressed that that was going to be the inevitability. But the Pirates losing again helped me get to acceptance.
No. At this point, I think the acceptance, you actually, in that depression thing, you were kind of talking about.
I was kind of talking
you were
out
going
the acceptance, right?
What this is, before you got to sort of fully process acceptance, there was a, miraculous cancer recovery.
Yeah. So, but. Actually, I did process through the acceptance and kind of with the bargaining, too. Like I said, you know what? It's okay. Looks like they're going to lose this season. I will accept this season as their last losing season, you know? And if they want to go winning next year, that's fine. Like, I
accept
it.
Okay, so you've accepted it?
I've accepted it. Like, I think they're going to have another losing season this season. But if they did come back, I would at least applaud them. I'd give them. That's the limit of my applause right there. But
the golf clap.
Yeah. So I've come to accept that they may have a winning season and I will have to give up my love of their
record-long
losing streak.
Your love of losing.
I do. I do love it, but it's okay. It's okay. They can it's okay. Their losing coincided with me. I mean, they started
losing.
Becoming
a man.
That's true. Their losing also started right after I realized that baseball was the most boring thing on wheels. And this is, you know, my grandfather, who I love dearly, was a big baseball fan, so much so that he would listen to it on the radio, also, which is mind-bogglingly boring.
Kidding?
It's just,
well, you don't just sit there and listen to it on the radio.
He would just sit there and listen to it on the radio.
Is, it's on the radio. You're on, like, a porch.
Yeah.
And you get, like, a beer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Sometimes.
You're chatting with people. It's great. Yeah. It's great.
Okay, there was no chatting. He just kind of sat there and drank beer and listened to the Pirates.
Okay, that's also pretty good. But I can see where...
When he was working, it was always a problem. Like, he loved to, you know, work in the garden and everything. So he would work in the garden or whatever. And then, like, sometimes I would have to sit by the radio or do something near the radio so that when he got done with what he was doing or when he took a break... I knew the score. Because if he had to sit there and wait by the radio for the score, that's the worst experience a person can endure, is having to sit by a radio listening to baseball, waiting for them to tell you the score.
Yeah,
one of the few times in your life you'll pray for a commercial break.
One thing I've really grown to take for granted as a fan of, you know, certainly baseball specifically, but really sports in general, is like the always-on score thing. On one hand, it's like sometimes you're kind of feeling like, get that thing out of my face, you know. But on the other hand, man, never have to wait for the score, ever,
never have
anymore.
To wait for the score, Dave.
And they'll show you the score for everything else in the universe, too. We live in wondrous times.
Wondrous times. You could just look it up on your magic internet phone, except you don't have one.
Yeah, I have a magic Wi-Fi thing that's kind of like a magic internet phone.
Yeah,
it's good.
I mean,
enough.
You're close enough. You can still get through it, whatever.
I'm in almost the future.
Well, you know, yeah, I am also in almost the future, Dave.
Everyone is, isn't, aren't they?
I'm kind of in almost the past, too, but not.
Man, if only there was some kind of name for this magical moment that's almost the future
and
almost
the
past.
Paradoxically, Dave, paradoxically, it is almost the future and almost the past. How can that be?
I don't know, but I think we need to take a break while we ponder it.
While we ponder.
If you have a good idea for naming this crazy time that is both of those things at once, then call us. Email. Call us on the live line, which we don't have. 1-800-ITTTTTTT.
Yeah. All right. So here is Yes with Leave It, and we are going to leave it. Right there, Dave. We'll be right back. And welcome back to episode 53 of I'm Trying to Think. I'm Chuck Warner. With me, as always, is Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hello again.
We didn't do that at the top. And now that I've remembered all the stuff about our show, I can talk about it again. But you know what I do feel bad about? Just a little regret.
Uh-huh.
Did not play the good part of Leave It for our audience, so.
So they're jonesing for more yes is
yeah,
your assumption?
Here it is.
I'm
going to
say is
part.
Your assumption.
Yeah. Leave it, Dave. Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, then.
Leave it. Yeah. Right on. Okay.
It sounded like you were approaching, like, Fred Schneidering that song.
No, that'd be leave it! You know, something like that.
Yeah.
I was trying to work a lobster reference. You were dipping your toes
into the water.
Or, you know, got me a car. It's as big as a whale! You know.
And leave it.
I could do a whole show as Fred Schneider. Hello and welcome! I'm trying to think! Yeah. Rock lobster! I don't know, that would be the major topic.
Yeah, lobsters and
Dave,
how much they
how
rock.
Do you feel about the rock lobster?
What? What?
All right, that would be how that show went. But let's do a different show, Dave. The reason I suspect that basketball appeals to the Hebrew with his Oriental background is that the game places a premium on an alert, scheming mind, flashy trickiness, artful dodging, and general smart-aleckness. That is a quote from Paul Gallico, sports editor of the New York Daily News, and one of the premier sports writers of the 1930s. Dave.
All right.
Apparently, Jews are good at basketball.
And apparently, from what I understand, in the early days of basketball, you know, in you know the aforementioned 30s, yeah, that was pretty much correct.
Which, is, it's just funny to me, because, I mean, name a Jewish guy in basketball now.
Now?
Right now.
I'd have to... Oh, actually, Amari Stoudemire converted pretty recently.
Okay, there you go.
New York Knicks all-star forward, Amari Stoudemire.
Just decided he wanted to be a Jew. Good for him, I guess. I don't know. Or bad for him. Who knows?
I don't remember if he converted or recently rediscovered his own Judaism. It's a thing.
I mean, from the perspective of from the perspective of the Jewish people, good for him. From the perspective of the, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, not so good. You know, what are you going to do?
It's all a matter of perspective.
I got a. I don't know if the Jehovah's Witnesses visited, but I did get a tract from Jehovah's Witnesses.
Little something something from the Watchtower.
Love the Jehovah's Witnesses tracks. We've been over this in the show before.
Yeah, it's because of their general smart-aleckness.
Their general smart-aleckness.
Their flashy trickiness.
Their artful dodgery. I didn't realize, like, artful...
It's also why they're great 1940s and 30s basketball players, the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
Killer set shots.
Yeah, it's racism is weird when it turns out that it only lasts for a couple of decades. And then all the assumptions made by it just turn out to be false.
That's why old-timey racism, even when it's still horrible, and even if it's old-timey racism where some of the effects, like, subtly come to the, you know, into the present, mm-hmm. That's why old-timey racism always seems hilarious.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just partly
it
like... Just,
it exposes how racism is built on just such crazy... weird assumption.
Most of the Jews I know are not shrewd. That's not the first word that I would use to describe them.
Nor is Oriental, for that matter.
Oriental is a very weird word. Smart-aleckness. I don't know if that means something different, but that's not what I get from... You're pretty much the most smart-alecky Jew I know. Yeah, I mean...
I'm comfortable
you know.
With the smart-aleckness, honestly. That seems reasonable to me, going
it's
forwards.
Weird to be, it's also just weird to be a generic white person and have very little... there are very few preconceptions and racist notions about guy who has incredibly mixed background, you know? I'm not, like, enough of any one thing to...
For something to stick to you?
To be racially, you know, whatchamacallit it. I'm not even, like... Oh, he's part this thing and part white, which means he's, you know, that's bad.
He's semi-tricksy.
Yeah, he's semi-tricksy, whatever. No, just like generic European and that hint of Middle Eastern.
Well, like, which kind of generic European? Because remember, the history of racism is so muted and weird.
You know,
like, if you're popping back to, like, the 1850s or something, I mean, people who today, like... I mean, this is one thing I always find amusing
dodgery.
About the shifting and sort of mutable nature of whiteness.
Whiteness, yes. Because, as
like,
we've discussed many times.
There's whites and the groups.
At one time, Irish people were not white.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like now,
and, for instance,
can you think
Jews
of,
are white until somebody says white power.
Yeah,
then,
yeah. Then, but
I've made
they want to kick you off
a very
the team.
Humorous
yeah.
joke.
It's
anyways, like so. There's
but, like, can you think
I'm
of anything whiter
so
than
have,
a polka in terms of concept? Like
that's
now,
true,
that would
yeah.
be like a canonical white thing. But no, the Polish people were not considered white when they first, you know, came to America. Like Eastern Europeans. And the great thing is, like, when you read the scientific racism of the time. Just to keep going, is one.
you're on a tear. Go,
yeah,
go, tear boy.
One, it's like the scientific racism of the time is, you know. Horrible / hilarious, and is also a good reminder that, just to spin it back up for a sec before I keep on digging into that, is it's a good reminder that, like, even, you know, people, when you have, you know, modern, enlightened ideas, that does not necessarily put you above horrible, mind-shreddingly dumb bigotry.
Yeah, it's true.
And often, you know, bigotry will latch on to whatever, you know, great modern idea you have in order to, you know, kind of propagate itself as a meme.
If you can find a scientific reason to support your being an idiot, then your being an idiot sounds less dumb.
Yeah, so. And if you think, and if science is a new thing that, like, you know, the Enlightenment has happened and fully trickled into, you know, culture at large, and you buy into the idea of science, you'll make up crazy racist science for yourself.
Well, let's look at
hold on, just to spin.
Oh, my goodness.
No, just to finish my scientific racism you know, just in addition, like, you would look at the charts and diagrams they had of, like, the physiognomy of various races. And it wasn't just like, oh, black people have, you know, this forehead and that's why we're better. Like, they would make up all kinds of crazy races that don't exist. Like, and detail their, you know, their physical characteristics and what crazy racist things they meant. It really just look some of that stuff up at some point, if you ever can.
All right.
It's crazy.
All right.
Crazy stuff.
Okay. Crazy. So the whitest thing that most people think of now is something like mayonnaise and white bread, which are both really French concepts. And inventions but French is like anti-American, so
you also,
how'd that work, like, exactly?
I wonder. It's like a French, like if you saw a French guy wandering around, you know, he is a white person, but you would call them just a French person first because they're Frenchy.
Yeah, I assuming mean, in America, French. You would call them that, yes.
Unless, you know, but someone of French ancestry, I don't know that, is probably
I don't know that
white.
Europeans have a concept of white.
Ooh, I can tell you who would disagree with you.
Okay.
All of the profoundly, you know, really disturbingly popular white power groups of Europe.
But they are not generally white power groups. Like, they are not, you know, it doesn't translate directly in German to white power. It's racial purity and nationalism.
True.
Different concept. Because a German has a nationalistic idea of German that goes back centuries and has been, you know, has fed on itself for centuries. So do the Danes or the French or the Italians or anybody else over there.
Although the funny thing about that is those ideas often
are
go
fictional.
Back vastly further than any coherent notion of a country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is kind of the goofy thing about European nationalism.
Well, yeah, I mean, Germany is not... It's only existed...
Like, that was warring,
I mean,
principalities,
only existed,
like, circa
as
the
such
1800s,
for a few
right?
decades. I mean, because it used to be West and East. Before it was West and East, it was...
it was the unified Germany for,
unified
like,
Germany,
60
but,
years, maybe?
Maybe, but...
But it was, like, warring principalities for centuries and centuries.
But a lot of it was Holy Roman Empire, too, which included a lot of other countries.
Yes,
but
and also
included
weird,
they always had these ideas of regions
things.
Inside those empires and stuff, so... You know, the concept of German, I mean, they don't even call themselves German. So it's weird. That's a whole other weird thing. But, you know, the Alsatian or whatever else, you know, some sub part of their nations. Anyways, the point is that the idea of whiteness is kind of directly in opposition to the idea of blackness. And that's kind of a unique American cultural thing, because other countries did not have
the
generations
slavery.
Of institutionalized slavery
right.
that we did. So there's a, you know, that's a whole other weird thing. But anyways, the point is that...
Although I think you're giving other colonial nations not as much credit as they deserve for their horrible racism.
Oh, no. They're wonderful at their horrible racism, but they... there's a weirdness to a lot of it.
I mean,
South Africa is
yeah, those
the one,
Afrikaners were Dutch.
Oh, yeah. South Africa is the one other place
racist,
that probably
Dutchman.
Has as much, or has a similar experience to what we have. And actually, worse experience because apartheid existed longer there than it did here. And we didn't really have apartheid, but, you know.
Jim Crow was.
Is, yeah, I'm just saying.
Apartheid.
I'm saying
pretty
that
much. American
that
apartheid.
Went away a long time ago, right. Well, not a long time ago, but a long time ago compared to South Africa.
20 which, years.
Yeah.
We beat them by about 20 years.
Yeah.
Go team.
Yeah, go team. Hey, I say go team. And I think it's probably more like 30 years. Maybe a little more.
I guess
it
was civil rights,
regardless.
Early mid 60s, apartheid late 80s.
But I mean, Rwanda is a horribly weird place where there's black racism against other blacks, but it was created by white people. Because the Europeans who came in separated the black people into two categories, and the people there still, I mean, they're not really black people, they're African people, but different kind of cultural concept. But still, the African people there were split into two groups that remain separate to this day. So, you know. All right, go white people. Remember there was that whole episode where
that
talked about...
That wasn't how you were supposed to end that... Remember you ended that segment wrong.
Remember that was that whole episode where I went on and on about how much I hate white people and don't trust them?
Yeah, so you changed your mind? No.
That was a sarcastic go white people.
Mm.
What do you mean?
Then explain
you can't judge my sarcasm.
Explain your pennant, smart guy.
My white people.
Yeah.
It's a sarcastic white people pennant.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Explain the little plastic batting helmet.
With the white people on it?
With white people on it, but...
With
presumably
the white people logo
had,
on it.
Presumably it had ice cream in it at some point.
Again, sarcasm. Also, it's just what Dairy Queen gave me.
Man.
And the piles of leaflets about white power in my basement? Sarcastic. Sarcastic leaflets. I just hope that people get the sarcasm. Otherwise, it could really be...
It could be damaging?
They could really misread me on this one, Dave. I'm just saying. I've actually thought about, on a serious tip, because I don't actually have any white power pamphlets in my basement. That was a joke. That was what we call a laughter sentence.
I don't think we call that that.
Shut up. I have considered making sarcastic religious pamphlets. Like, they look, you know, like regular old religious pamphlets at a first glance. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you start realizing them, you know, you realize it's all sarcastic and
so
like,
have a lot
ironic.
Of quotes?
Yeah, and like italics, and, you know, just, like, taking the worst parts of things and making them out to be the best parts, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. I think you should, because I think some of that, at least, you know, certainly parody, you know, and satire of religious pamphlets has been done. I think maybe come at it from a different angle to start distributing religious pamphlets, but spelled wrong.
Spelled wrong?
Yeah, I'm just saying, keep making it a little subtle, like, sort of. Raging on a smaller, stranger dimension against that machine. Just start handing out copies of the Watchtower.
The Watchtower?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think that's the subversive counterculture movement that I'm going to start. But, you know, we got listeners. Maybe one of them will take their least favorite group and start releasing pamphlets about that topic or political movement.
Just with a lot of spelling errors.
A lot of spelling errors.
Book of
it'll make some people, it'll make intelligent people lose respect for them.
Yeah,
I guess that's a thing.
This is called playing the long game, Jack.
It's a very long game, Dave. You are the master of the longest of the long games.
The Kong James Bible.
That I would read that. I would read the Kong James Bible.
Now with 50% more monkeys.
Monkeys are left out of the Bible too much. There should just be more. I mean, then everybody would. Everybody loves monkeys. Everybody loves pirates. Put the monkeys and the pirates in the Bible. I'm reading them.
I don't know. Actually, judging by this year's summer box office, pirates are out, but monkeys are in.
I mean, okay. I think the pirates movie still did pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that Planet of the Apes, that's been one of the successful blockbusters of the summer. Fight of the Planet of the Fight of the Apes.
Well, yeah, but Fight of the Lord of the Rings of the Rise of the Planet of the Apes was it had less turgid competition. Turgid?
Don't think that's the word you wanted to use.
Yeah,
there.
But it still works, though, doesn't it?
Don't think that works.
I think it works.
Nah.
You don't think it works?
No.
All right, well.
No.
Regardless, it's also, I don't understand why they released the Pirates movie so early. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. It seems like you want to go late. Late ones always do better. I don't know. That's just me. Still, they'll make their money back on that Pirates movie. And you're not counting merchandising.
Yeah,
I mean, they
DVD,
sold a whole new
overseas.
Level of toys. There are no Planet of the Apes toys, Dave.
I wouldn't bet on that.
I mean, there are some, but I'm just saying they're not.
They've got to be Planet of the Apes.
You can't go
toys.
To the Target and get Planet of the Apes toys. At least not last time.
Is that a bet you want to make? I'm not sure about that.
I don't think you want to bet me on what toys are in the toy aisles at Target.
That's true, actually. I immediately retract my bet.
Yeah, that is probably not a smart bet for you. I'm just telling you, right? I'm telling you.
I look at them casually.
That's not the thing.
But I'm not digging for Transformers like some people.
I am digging for Transformers. If you'll notice, I got a new Wheeljack up here and a Warpath. They're very, very nice. Very nice.
They sure are Transformers.
Yeah. I don't buy any of them.
That's about where my limit of the franchise knowledge is.
Not buying any of the new movie toys are. But these are nice. These are, I think they're called Transformers Universe. I don't know, something like that. I got the cards right here, Dave. Hold on. Let's see. We got, Transformers Generations. That's what it is.
It's like Star Trek Generations?
No, better.
Disappointing movie.
Better than Star Trek Generations. Okay. Let's move on.
Oh, let's please.
From monkeys or whatever we're talking about.
I think it was monkeys.
We're talking about religion, kinda. So let's take a spin on that, Dave.
Sure.
Now, I have been for several years now strongly identifying as an atheist. Like, I'm out there, right? Now, you agree with all the views of atheism, yes?
Pretty much.
You would call yourself an atheist, yes?
Yeah.
But you do not, like, strongly self-identify. You don't feel, you don't really feel bombastic about
identification. I'm generally not soapboxing about the whole thing.
Well, that's the soapboxing is neither here nor there. It's more of a matter of being comfortable with the term. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not against the term.
But here's the thing about the term. It doesn't really tell you much about what I actually believe. You know what I mean?
It's not a pot because it's not positive.
It's not positive. It's a denial of certain claims, the claims of a god, which I don't believe that there. I'm atheism. To me, the word just means there's no concept of God that has been presented to me that I believe exists. Okay, but I actually go further. I don't think that gods, as they are generally. The idea of a god as is generally defined or as meets certain necessary conditions would exist anywhere in the universe. Because I don't think the omnibenevolent, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, quadfecta. I'm making up all kinds of new words.
You're making up all kinds of new pronunciations.
I don't think it works. I don't think it exists. That's just me. So anyways.
I would argue at how many of those things are tied into the definition of God
specifically. I understand we could say that, but like I made this argument elsewhere, but I didn't really want to rehash it, but here comes the rehash.
Boom.
Basically, if we got your classic Socrates problem, is something good because the gods say it is good, or is it good because it is good, right?
Yeah, sure.
Right, okay.
Rocking the Euthyphro problem.
Euthyphro, right. Socrates asks Euthyphro that, and a whole thing happens. So when you ask that question, you're talking about the nature of morality and the nature of divinity and the conflict that naturally exists between those two things. Because if a god exists, that can change what is good and thus controls morality, right?
Right.
Then it is impossible that god be omnibenevolent. You cannot be good if you can change what good is, you know? If I say to you, I'm a baseball player, Dave, and you're like, you're not a baseball player, Chuck. And I say, wait, a baseball player is someone who sits in his basement and plays video games. Not even baseball video games, mind you. Just other video games.
Yeah, you're not talking MVP.
Right. I've redefined
you're not talking Ken Griffey Jr.
No. I've redefined what...
not even talking high heat.
No. I'm redefining what baseball player is. And so it's meaningless. The baseball player doesn't mean anything if I'm saying it's a guy who sits in his basement and you're saying it's a guy who plays baseball. We can't communicate with that word anymore. I mean, assuming I'm standing really firm on this new definition I've given.
Which you are.
The same thing goes for morality, although obviously morality has a little bit more of a more, you know...
Universal importance.
Yes, yeah, more importance. But if I can say, well, killing a baby is good if I tell you to do it, then what a good doesn't really mean anything. It just means what you want me to do. And that's not what we understand as a moral you know, a moral definition.
A moral framework.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, now let's take the other side. The God can't control morality. He's just telling us what it is. Well, first of all, he's not really telling us what it is. We've really got no clue, and nobody can agree on it. So there's
a
problem
there. He's doing a
bad job. But even outside of that, let's say that theoretically he is, and we're not getting a good message or something. And I don't know. He's omnipotent, so you think he could send a good message, but let's set that aside, too.
Hey, he's trying.
You're just a guy.
Read the Kong James.
Read the Kong James Bible. If you're a guy who can't define what morality is, but just, like, prances around and makes universes and then judges people or whatever you do, somewhere in there, there's a break. Somewhere in there, you're still not, you're not omnibenevolent, or more to the point, you're not omnipotent because you can't change morality all of a sudden.
Yeah, hold on. Back up a second.
Good.
Quote me the chapter and verse where God prances.
Leviticus 23:16. God prances. Anyways, so anyways, let's just, so with all that,
and
what
Bathsheba,
the whole
begat Ham, and Ham begat Damon.
That's all in Genesis.
And God did prance.
And God did prance, yeah. Actually, 23:16 is what I said. According to the Kong James Version, is even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Because God needs meat.
Yeah.
I mean, what else has he got going on? He's,
yeah, you can't prance without
basement.
Protein.
He's sitting in his basement playing Ken Griffey Jr., thinking he's a baseball player. Anyways.
Oh.
So, the whole point of me talking about all that was just basically saying that there are, I have this idea of what a God would be, and anything less to that to me is like, okay, you're a super powerful being, but you're not, per se, God, the Almighty, you know?
So, to boil your idea of God down into a pithy sentence, it might perhaps be, what does God need with a starship?
Or starship, yeah.
Is it a starship, spaceship?
It's starship. You're right, it was starship. What does God need with a starship? Exactly. If he's all-powerful in all the other ways, then he can't be omnibenevolent because he can control morality, and that makes morality meaningless. And a person who can control morality and doesn't just make everybody happy, to me, is amoral, judged by my standards. And I'm not going to worship a being who just makes morality up as he goes along. Like, just can't. It does not fit with me. Ergo, it's a being not worthy of worship. Sure, almighty, but certainly not worthy of worship. Anyways. So, the idea of a God being all-powerful, almighty, blah, 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 and worthy of worship, to me, does not, it cannot all go together.
You can't square that circle.
Cannot square that circle. Right. For me. I don't know. I get, there are people with a mindset that, well, if somebody created you, regardless of how fucked up they are, you should still worship them and, you know, respect them or whatever. Those people have a different tack, and, I can't agree with them, but to them, that might be a God. Whatever. So anyways, all this notwithstanding, because there's no evidence that any such being does exist. And that's why I could even go into the what is called strong atheism, or the idea that, no, I actually believe that no gods exist. Not just that, you know, I can't believe that God exists because there's no evidence, but also I believe that there is logical evidence to me that no God actually exists. Or I could easily live my life just as if no God existed, and it would not change anything to me. Okay. Anyways, that's my definition of atheism, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't really tell you everything about me, because I also don't believe in ghosts, in, you know, magic tricks. Not magic tricks, but, you know, magic with a K.
Right.
Bigfoots.
So you're an a-ghostist.
Leprechauns.
A-Bigfootist. A-Leprechaunist.
Yeah, exactly. Unicorn.
Hey, fuck you.
A-unicornist. You know, because
that
there's
dog
no,
don't hunt.
Certainly there's the possibility that there's a horse somewhere with a horn on it. And they could be running around. But I think there's enough evidence in the world that such a thing doesn't exist. Certainly it's an absence of evidence. But an absence of evidence in can actually be evidence of absence. The old adage that it can't is actually bullshit. Because, you know, it's every instance
it's
of something
not
existing. Right.
It's not proof positive.
It's not proof positive. There's no such thing as proof positive, though. Proof positive is a ridiculous standard of knowledge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, induction means, you know, the problem of induction means that proof positive is kind of a nonsense thing.
Right. Induction. So anyways, Dave.
I said induction.
We went into this whole
blog. Did I not say induction? Blue.
You said induction. Yeah, no, I was just repeating you.
Oh, okay.
Forcing it, reinforcing you, Dave. Holding you up, bolstering you.
Thank you.
Strengthening your resolve.
Kong James Bible.
Kong James. Anyways. So, this whole rant is really about, okay, I call myself an atheist, but somebody called me out in the sense that they said, all right, well, why does that word how you define yourself? And that word is actually, it really does come short of my belief system. And that's why I really like the word free thinker. But it sounds not, it does, nobody knows what it means, is the big problem.
Yeah, I've
People
always
are like,
had
yeah,
the
I'm
thought.
A free thinker. I think God maybe doesn't exist. I just believe that he does. That's not a free thinker.
When it comes to free thinker, I've always kind of had a thought, like, to me, that suggests kind of a goofy guy, and he has, like, a secret handshake.
Yeah.
But I think that's mostly because I kind of get it mentally. It's in my sort of taxonomy in my brain. It's kind of crossed with Freemason.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can completely see where you mean. Especially because a lot of the people who originally identified as freethinkers were people in the, you know, 1800s, and they were running around with Freemasons, so they were probably neighbors, you know, and so you can tie that. They all had George Washington hair.
They went to the same potlucks.
And they all had George Washington hair. They wore powdered wigs. That was how everybody did in those days.
So
I completely agree with you.
So that's your thing, is powdered wigs?
Yeah, I mean, but powdered wigs is a big part of being a freethinker.
Uh-huh.
No. Freethinkers is actually about, you know, believing things based on logic, reason, and evidence, and not tradition, dogma, or something else. I mean, you know, basically, there are lots of words that you can put in there that you
don't
believe.
Things other than the three things you said.
Yeah, things that don't come from, you know, experience that is backed up by evidence, that is backed up by, you know, reason and logic. So, but that, yeah, you're right. That word is weak. It just doesn't feel like anything. You know, it certainly has no.
Feels like a
place.
Secret handshake and a robe.
It has no place in modern language.
I put on my robe and freethinker hat.
So some people, like some people who I actually really respect and like, Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and my brain is saying Dermoni Dawson.
that's a football player.
That guy was a center for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, Daniel Dennett.
Daniel
perhaps.
Dennett is who I mean.
But Daniel
that is,
Dennett.
That's a great crossover.
Kimo von Olhoven.
Orpheus Roy.
Orpheus Roy sounds like a really plausible freethinker.
Yeah, it does. I'm just going through wacky football player names.
Chris Fuamatu Maafala.
Chris Fuamatu Maafala. So anyways.
George Washington.
Those guys that I named.
Roy Orbison.
Aside from all the other guys that we named. The Sam Harris, Daniel Dennett, Richard Dawkins, and a bunch of other people.
Harrison
have
Ford.
Decided to use the word bright to describe themselves. Which is basically like free thinker.
Yeah, I've heard about that. It's a little precious.
It is.
It's very precious.
It is pretentious as hell because it is a word that means intelligent in common parlance. Which means, hey, we're smart and you're dumb. Like, it's just not a good word. Especially if you're trying to build up a nice movement of friendliness and you know, hey, we all love each other.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing, Dermoni Dawson.
Yeah, Dermoni Dawson's not helping us at all. Secular humanist is a great word, but doesn't entail all the stuff that I was talking about, really.
Yeah, that's
all.
Good. I like secular humanist because it sort of, to me at least, implies that sort of more positive,
yeah, it's like,
human-based
no, the thing about secular humanism is that the only rule is you have to really like people and think the best of them. And not for any religious reason or anything. You just have to be like, I really respect people. I want them to live free lives that are healthy and complete, and I don't wish any ill. Like, you know, the morality comes from a different place. And that's great. Secular humanism is awesome. It does sound like a cult, though. It does sound like a cult, just a little bit. It's not a cult. but it does sound like a cult. So, Dave, the ultimate problem I'm left with here is I am an atheist, but that's not really fully descriptive. I am a freethinker, which is pretty much fully descriptive, but doesn't sound like anything.
No, it sounds like some things, which is also kind of a problem.
Yes. I'm a naturalist, and that sounds like something. Like, I'm a person who likes to live in the woods and...
Or catch and catalog butterflies.
And or not wear clothing.
No, isn't that like a naturist?
But it sounds the same. Is it just naturalist? I don't know, but...
Because, yeah, they have a name that's not nudist, because they don't like nudists.
I'm a naturalist in that I believe that everything in the universe is explainable by natural phenomena. They're natural. There's no such thing as the supernatural. And that pretty much describes my beliefs, too. But, again, it sounds like I'm a nudist. There's no word, Dave. What do we do about this?
I don't know. You're flapping in the breeze.
What do we do?
Not a nudist, but you're flapping in the breeze.
Like, what am I going to do? I don't have a solution. So, it's either just, make up a whole new word, just stick with atheist, or stick with free thinker and, have to explain it to people. I have to explain atheist to people, so it's all right. There's still the funny... I think the story has been recounted here before of the Jehovah's Witness coming to my door and my wife telling her that, she was an atheist, and the Jehovah's Witness asking my wife... So, do you believe in the devil?
No.
Yeah, not so much.
So, actually, I don't believe in God, but I do believe in the devil.
I believe in the devil. I believe he was created by God. That creates a lot of conflict in my mind. So, anyways.
I believe the devil created himself.
Boop. That is the noise of a supernatural entity.
Of a self-creating devil.
Of a supernatural entity creating itself.
Boop, boop, boop.
I don't know what to do. I'm certainly not going to join the Bright Movement, though. Those guys, I'm sorry, you guys can... That's my D, as it were. I use initials, that way it's less vulgar. So, Dave, you have no suggestions, though, is what you're telling me. I've had this long discussion. We have no resolution.
Not yet, no. We may have to ponder this one.
Oh, poop.
That's how to end it. Listen, man, I wish we didn't have kind of a goodbye thing, because that's how to end the show right there. Just, aw, poop. And then, that would be an even better way to end an episode of The Andy Griffith Show.
I don't think they could say poop on The Andy Griffith. They say shucks. Aw, shucks. Is that whistle true?
Yeah, it's whistled, but... I'm not a whistling expert, so I was just going...
I'm pretty good whistler.
I was going with what I had.
There you go, Dave. All right. So now that we're providing a baseline for everybody's life here, with our teeth. Is there any other topics you'd like to talk about today, Dave? Or are we o-pooping this show?
I think we're o-pooping.
You ready to o-poop so soon?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right. So, we've talked about the pirates. We've talked about free thinking. We've talked about... there was something else in the middle there. I don't know. Jews being good at basketball. That was fun.
That's the one.
I'm glad. I'm just,
Thank you, guys, from the 1930s.
Yeah, I hope everybody...
Keep on writing stuff.
I hope everybody learned a good lesson and comes away from the show with, happier and wiser... And with a sweater on. Good sweaters.
It's August. It's August,
yeah,
Chuck.
Yeah, I know.
You want our listeners to just not be comfortable. That's what it sounds like.
Go into the air conditioning. A sweater can keep you just mild. You know what I mean? You can carry it around. Carry it around in your knapsack. But a good cardigan, you're never going to go wrong with a good cardigan. 50 ways to leave your lover. She said it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, I hope my meaning won't be lost or misconstrued. But I'll repeat myself at the risk of being crude. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. You also can't go wrong with the Cardigans. You know, then that
Love Fool is a catchy song.
Yeah, Love Fool, that was a good one. Love me, love me. That's a secular humanist song right there.
That's a stretch.